You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
All right, we'll be reading from the book of John, chapter 11, 1 and 2 is the verse, and then chapter 12, 1 to 8. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. This is the word of our Lord.
Juan capítulo 11, versículos 1 y 2, y Juan capítulo 12, versículos 1 al 8. Estaba enfermo cierto hombre llamado Lázaro, de Betania, la aldea de María y de su hermana Marta. María, cuyo hermano Lázaro estaba enfermo, fue la que ungió al Señor con perfume y le secó los pies con sus cabellos. Entonces Jesús, 6 días antes de la Pascua, vino a Betania donde estaba Lázaro, al que Jesús había resucitado de entre los muertos, y le hicieron una cena allí, y María servía. Pero Lázaro era uno de los que estaban a la mesa con él. Entonces María, tomando unos 300 gramos de perfume de nardo puro que costaba mucho, ungió los pies de Jesús y se los secó con los cabellos, y la casa se llenó con la fragancia del perfume. Y Judas Iscariote, uno de sus discípulos, el que lo iba a entregar, dijo, "¿Por qué no se vendió este perfume por 300 denarios y se dio a los pobres?" Pero dijo esto, no porque se preocupara por los pobres, sino porque era un ladrón, y como tenía la bolsa del dinero, sustraía de lo que se echaba en ella. Entonces Jesús dijo, "Déjala, para que lo guarde para el día de mi sepultura, porque a los pobres siempre los tendrán con ustedes, pero a mí no siempre me tendrán." This is the word of God.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you guys. It's a beautiful day, isn't it? It's the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice, and we're going to be glad in it. I certainly honor God for being here. What a privilege it is to share with you, to fellowship with you, to meet you, and to get reacquainted with some folks that I have not seen in a while. And I honor your pastor and his family for their leadership here. It's something special leading God's people and seeing people grow in Christ, and so grateful for the work that you're doing. Keep it up, please, please. My good friend Linda, who invited me, I think back in May, and so thank you so much for the invitation. And it's just, again, it's just good to be here, and I'm grateful for you. I usually start off with a song, so are you okay if I sing a song? Okay, about three people said yes. That's fine. I'm going to go with that then. I grew up listening to a lot of radio and here in Chicago, and then when I moved to Cleveland, Ohio, to live with my father, I listened to a lot of music there as well. So the music would range from the Temptations. You guys ever heard of the Temptations? Okay. Gladys Knight and the Pips, Aretha Franklin. But then, for whatever reason, I got into a whole nother mood, and I wanted to hear Elton John, and I wanted to hear Don McLean. I wanted to hear James Taylor. I know you guys have never heard of them because you were listening to hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. But I listened to a lot of music. So I never forget on the south side of Chicago. My mom had albums and albums of wonderful artists. And then I saw these four guys, and they were four guys from Liverpool. And so I put that on the record player. Hopefully, there are a few people here who remember record players as opposed to cassettes and CDs and now streaming. And so their faces are on this album, this LP. And they did songs like She Was Just 17 and I Want to Hold Your Hand. And then they did this classic ballad called Yesterday. Anybody remember that? Let me refresh you a little bit. It goes like this. Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Now, some people think this is like one of the greatest songs ever written. A guy named Andre Crouch, who wrote tremendous songs that have blessed the body of Christ, he got that song and he turned it inside out and changed the words and performed it downtown by the State of Illinois building. And this is back in the 70s. And I never forget Andre being there. Bill Maxwell, his drummer, was there. And the words were, Calvary, where Jesus bled and died in agony on a cross meant for you and me. Oh, I believe in Calvary. Suddenly, I'm not the sinful one I used to be. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, I believe in Calvary, why he loved me so. I don't know, he would not say, I did so much wrong, but he took my wrongs away. Calvary. Is anybody grateful for Calvary? Where Jesus bled and died in agony on a cross meant for you and me. Oh, I believe in Calvary, why he loved me so. I don't know, he would not say, I did so much wrong, but he took my wrongs away. Calvary, where Jesus bled and died in agony on a cross meant for you and me. Oh, I believe in Calvary. Yeah, I believe in Calvary. I'm not ashamed to say I believe in Calvary. Somebody help me sing, I believe. Come on, in Calvary. I'll tell the world that I believe in Calvary. On the south side, saying, I believe in Calvary. Let's take it up, say, I believe in Calvary. Come on and help me say, I believe in Calvary. Oh, I believe in Calvary. I'll tell the White House that I believe in Calvary. I'll tell the crack house that I believe in Calvary. I'm not ashamed to say I believe in Calvary. I'll tell the airplane that I believe in Calvary. One more time, say I believe in Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So grateful for the cross and for the empty tomb. I believe he rose again. You believe that? Absolutely, I believe it. Well, I grew up reading a lot of books, and I've always loved stories. I know there's some readers here today as well, books that were geared toward kids. I had, I don't know how many comic books, you know, Spider-Man and Captain America and Superman, etc. I've always enjoyed TV, watching old shows. They were new back then, Mannix and, oh my goodness, Sanford and Son, Good Times, and All in the Family. Movies, I could go on and on about movies. It's something about a good story that captivates me, and I got to presume it captivates you as well. Well, I love the Bible. All the other stuff that I've mentioned is fiction, but oh my goodness, the Bible has great stories of drama. Some of it is really funny. Some of it is between warring clans. There's romance in the Bible. And it's so good, not only for my mind and not only for my being, but it's good for my soul. The fact that God loves us the way he does is amazing. When you heard the scripture read just a little while ago out of John chapter 11, it says, and it was that Mary. It was that Mary that had a story. I believe there's a lot of stories out here today. Stories of hope, of healing, of perseverance, joy, pain, sunshine, rain. It's all kind of stories. And it's amazing when we get to fellowship and hear each other's stories. Sometimes it's amazing. You have no idea by looking at people what they've been through. You have no idea just looking at people what it took for them to get to service today, to magnify the Lord, to fellowship with you, to honor Jesus Christ. No idea what their home life is like. No idea what it was like growing up in their household. Either great joy and sometimes a lot of tragedy. And if we're not careful, we'll think that our story is exclusive and nobody knows like we know what pain is, what hurt is. But I'm here to let you know, in this fellowship, there are stories that bring hope and healing. I want to talk about a story in the Bible. And as I look at it, I want to talk about chapters of this person's life. It's really Mary. I love Mary. Mary was the sister of Lazarus. Lazarus got sick. It was, I don't know, it wasn't uncommon for people to get sick. It wasn't like they had all kind of hospitals. Northwestern wasn't around. Cook County Hospital wasn't around. University of Chicago was not around. If you were sick, hopefully there was some way for you to get healed. And Jesus comes on the scene, people flood him. People that can't hear, he touches them, and now they can. People that couldn't see, he touches them. He speaks to them, and now their vision is restored, or they've got vision that they never had before. The lame can walk. Those that were mute before, now they can talk. It's amazing what Jesus can do. Historians say that Mary and Martha and Lazarus supported Jesus' ministry. And now the Bible says Lazarus was sick. And I got to think that Mary and Martha thought, this is no problem. We know Jesus not only as the person that's come in the fullness of time. He's not just a person on a piece of paper. He is a healer. He is a way maker. He is a deliverer. And we know this personally. We've experienced it. It's incredible. And now our guy is sick. We're going to walk through the first chapter, chapter of wanting. We want Jesus to come and do something for us. We've known him. We followed him. We've given to him, we've served him, and now we've got expectation. Now, this is the challenge I think a lot of people have. They have extremes. One extreme is, I want what I want when I want it. I'm entitled to it. That's a real challenge for some people. The other side is, I don't want anybody to give me anything because the last time I wanted something, I was so disappointed that they didn't give it to me that I've stopped even wanting anything. I'm living in a state of despair based on my disappointment. But I'm here to let you know that if you delight yourself in the Lord, I'm preaching to myself right now. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Not just because you want it, but because he's working on your heart. He's making you and molding you into who he'd have you to be. I think it's okay to want things. I think God has put it in us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I believe that God has blessed us richly with all things so that we can enjoy them. I think it's okay to want. Here's the issue. When you're in that chapter called wanting, you want to make sure that you want the will of God. Even Jesus said, not my will, come on somebody, but thy will be done. We want to live in that state. I know our world is constantly pushing us to get what we want. You got an iPhone 5. Well, that was nice, but this year we got an iPhone 6. This year we got an iPhone 7. This year we got an iPhone 8. And you find yourself saying, okay, that car was nice, but now there's an upgrade. This was nice, but now I can go further. There was a couple that were walking along a beautiful beach, Hilton Head. As they're walking along, they're reminiscing about life together. Both of them are 60 years old. It's really wonderful. 60-year-old couple walking along, thinking about where they've come from and how they've begun to just grow together. They come across a bottle. They pick it up, they rub the dirt off of it, and bam, a genie pops out. It's just a story. Do not crucify me, okay? A genie pops out, and the genie says, I will give you whatever you want. One wish for you, one wish for you. The woman immediately says, I've been living 60 years old. He's been living 60 years. This is incredible. What an opportunity to get all that I want. I want to be the richest person in the world. That's what I want. I want to be richer than Beyonce. I want to be richer than the Beatles. I want to be richer than Frank Sinatra. I want to be richer than Lil Wayne. I want to just be rich, rich, rich. Richity, rich, rich, rich. Bam! She's the richest woman in the world. Genie looks at the man and said, hey, thanks for liberating me from the bottle. What do you want, sir? The man looks at his wife, looks at the genie, looks at his wife, looks at the genie, looks at his genie, looks at the wife, and the wife finally just hunches him in the side and says, I know that, you know, I've got all this money, and that if I'm rich, you're rich. Just tell the genie what you want, and we can go on and finish celebrating our anniversary together. The man looks at her, then looks at the genie and says, you know what I really want? I just want a wife that's 40 years younger than me. Bam! He turns 100 years old right then. Sometimes you can get what you want, but you don't want what you got. Have you ever been there before? Sometimes your desires will drive you further, and before you know it, you're off a cliff. Mary went through a time of wanting. Not that she wanted a bad thing, but can I tell you that sometimes our prayers are not answered because our prayers are not big enough. Our prayers are not according to the will of God, not because they're sinful, but because God wants to do something greater. Okay, we'll get to that in a little while. First chapter is a chapter called wanting. The second chapter is a chapter called waiting. Everybody say waiting. Okay, guys, say it a little louder. Waiting. And so they're praying for Jesus to come. The Bible says when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, you would have thought he would have said, oh, no. Hey, disciples, let's hurry up and get to Lazarus so we can heal him and move on to the next thing. He didn't. Jesus' response was, this sickness is not to death, but it's to the glory of God. And he waited where he was. I'm not always good at waiting. I'm not sure that anybody could come up here right now and take the mic and testify, the Lord has given me the gift of waiting. I don't mind waiting when I go through the drive-thru at McDonald's. I don't mind waiting when I'm getting coffee at Starbucks. I don't mind waiting. As a matter of fact, I love to wait. It's a blessing to just wait. I don't think there are too many people who come here and take the microphone and say that. I think most of us actually struggle in that area because our world is very instantaneous. We want what we want when we want it. We want coffee right now. We want oatmeal right now. We wonder what's taking the waitress so long. I struggle with it when I go to a restaurant, I'm hungry. And now, for whatever reason, they didn't get my order right. And they met, oh, Lord, have mercy. Why do I have to wait? Well, I think sometimes I have to wait so I can learn a spiritual virtue called patience. Sometimes I think you have to wait so you can learn a spiritual virtue called patience. Think about the demand. Again, you got to go back and read this scripture. Think about the demand that Mary put on Jesus. She sent a note that said, Lazarus, the one you love, is sick. When she uses the word love, the Greek word is phileo. That means the one that you got affection for. You have a heart for him. He's your boy. He's your guy. These other people that got healed and delivered, you know, they were strangers. But Lazarus, he's been riding with you for a while. He's like your family. Phileo. The Bible says when Jesus didn't go immediately, it said Jesus loved Lazarus. He loved that family, but the word there, the Greek word is agape, the God kind of love, the unconditional love. God loves you when you're right. God loves you when you're wrong. God loves you when you're up. God loves you when you're down. God loves you when you come to church. Don't tell the pastor. He loves you when you stay home. God loves you. And by the way, it's not like he only loves the best you. He knows the bad you, too, and still loves you with an everlasting love. Isn't that amazing? And you got to keep this in mind. The reason that God is doing what he's doing is not because he's lazy or Satan and sin have the upper hand. It's because God loves you enough to give you the best. I'm going to clap for that one myself. Hallelujah. That's good news. That is such good news right there. Sometimes you have to wait on the will of God to be fulfilled in your life. Let me hurry on. There's an old song that they sang at the church that I grew up in. You can't hurry God. You just have to wait. You've got to trust him. Give him time, no matter how long it takes. He's a God that you can't hurry. He'll be there. Don't you worry. He may not come when you want him, but I'm telling you, he's going to be right on time. Hallelujah to that. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He will strengthen your heart. Wait on him. Wait on him. Come on, somebody say it. Wait on him. Come on, let's have a little fun together today. Look at the person sitting next to you. Look at your neighbor right now and say, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord when you can hear the music. Wait on the Lord when you can't hear the music. Come on, you ever been on hold before waiting for the person to get there? As long as the music is playing, you feel like you connected. But I've also had a hold on and there was no music. There was no sound. And then all of a sudden the person comes on. Okay, Mr. Patterson, thanks so much for waiting. Blah, 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 blah. We've got your issue covered. And part of me wants to say, well, how come you weren't playing some music so I would know that you had me? I'm sure the response would be, sir, we're not obligated to play any music. What we're obligated to is to address the issue that you've got. Now, that's on earth. Can I talk about heaven for a second? God is not obligated to make you comfortable while you're waiting, but he has in his mercy and his grace obligated himself to supply your needs according to his riches in glory. Whether you're comfortable waiting or whether you're uncomfortable waiting, God is worth waiting for. Okay, let's get to the next chapter. Next chapter is weeping. Jesus shows up with the disciples. Martha meets him and said, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Martha's something else. Can you imagine saying that to the Son of God? Can you imagine saying that to your supervisor? Can you imagine saying that to your spouse? Come on, now some of you can imagine that. Let's delete that last line. Amen. Martha was outspoken. Martha was that kind of person that would say exactly what was on her mind. Let's say you decided to put on a dress that had red, yellow, purple, fuchsia, and gold. It was like somebody hit you with a paint gun. Amen. And you walked in the room and you saw a fellow believer and said, hey, I'm thinking about wearing this to the pastor's celebration. We're celebrating him. He's been here for a year, and October is coming up. It's Pastor Appreciation Month. I'm going to wear this to the big appreciation. What you think of this dress? You absolutely hate it. Come on, somebody. But you say, oh, that's something. I say, okay, cool. They go on to the next person. I'm wearing this to the pastor's appreciation in October. What you think of it? Next person says, I ain't never seen nothing like that before. Come on, somebody. That person runs into Martha and says, Martha, what you think of it? Martha says, if the devil was able to turn sin, unrighteousness, and cruelty into color, it still wouldn't be as ugly as what you got on right now. Martha is flat out. Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus, being Jesus, said, listen, you'll see your brother again. She said, okay, I know. I'm going to see him in the resurrection. First of all, you're too blunt. Secondly, you're trying to be a know-it-all. You don't know it because you came at me so harshly. Obviously, you didn't know you'd see him again. Come on now. Jesus says, listen, I am the resurrection and the life. Isn't that good news right there? Powerful. She goes getting married. Mary comes to him, and she says the same exact words to Jesus, but she falls on her face. She's crying. She's desperate. And as she's crying, she says, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Some of us have been there before. We're wounded, but we're still worshiping. We're in pain, but we're still giving God praise. We're crying, but we're still trusting God in the midst of our crisis. Jesus' response to her was weeping. Shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. I want to say to somebody here today, I don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you this. God is right there with you. He sees your hurt. He sees your pain. He's with me when my dad died, and I preached my dad's funeral. And before I preached, as people were greeting us before the service officially started, I wept uncontrollably. Same thing with my stepmother. I wept, and I wept. Jesus was right there. When my best friend died in a boating situation, he had a heart attack. The boat tipped over. Thank God he was with somebody. They were able to grab his body. His wife, not intentionally, but called and left me a message. Paul is in trouble. Paul is in the hospital. Next message, Paul is dead. I had to go to work the next day as a substance abuse counselor. And I did the group, and after I did the group, I cried. And then I went and did the next group, and then I cried. Have you ever had to hold on to your tears so that you could keep it together to function, but then you couldn't control the tears anymore? Can I tell you, the God we serve is right there with you. He weeps because he cares. He weeps because he cares. He's right there with you. Let me give you the next one. Next chapter in this book about Mary and Mary's story is this. Wonder. Everybody say wonder. The airplane is drowning you out. Come on, say a little louder. Wonder. Jesus gets to the tomb, and he says, it's sort of funny. Roll away the stone. Nothing funny about that. But Martha is there too. And Martha says, hold up. What are we getting ready to do? I said, roll away the stone. By this time, she used her King James voice. By this time, he stinketh. Jesus says, didn't I tell you if you believed you would see the glory of God? Martha shuts up, backs off. They roll the stone away. And he says, Lazarus, come forth. It's amazing. He's all wrapped in tape and all of that, and he hops out. Now, Pastor, I've done a number of funerals. I'm sure you've done funerals as well. I cannot imagine doing a funeral, the person in the casket sits up and starts walking around. Oh, my Lord. People would bust out the door, and if they couldn't get out the door, they would make a door. They would dive out the window. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It's a wonder. I need you to get this. Jesus is showing the people, not only can I heal the sick, you were praying that I'd heal the sick, but baby, I can raise the dead. I can go beyond anything that you are asking or thinking or imagining. I'm still able. When you say no, God can still say yes. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Sometimes he wants to do something greater, bigger, stronger, mightier, to show that he's not a pocket-sized Jesus that's got to be treated with kid gloves and only will be worshipped when things are right. You got to trust him when things are going wrong, because all things are working together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Okay, let's move on to the next one. We've got wonder. We're at the point of worship. Worship. Lazarus is alive. It's amazing. Martha's response, serving. You know anybody like that? They just love to serve. While I'm worshiping, while Linda's worshiping, while other members of the praise team are worshiping, Martha is there with the broom saying, hey, can y'all keep singing, but I got to sweep up this spot. Y'all can keep singing, but I got to fry some chicken. Y'all can keep singing. Y'all can keep worshiping. Y'all can keep doing whatever you're doing. But I got to get some work in. You know, by the way, Pastor needs folks like that. I'm sure he's told you that 1,000 times. Let me echo it. Amen. Not just Sunday morning, but he needs somebody to come with a mop during the week. Okay, no amens for that, but that's all right. He needs somebody with a broom during the week. He needs somebody to help out. You know what? He wants some Marthas at this ministry. I'm by myself out here, but amen. Y'all ain't got to have me back. I'm good. Amen. We need some Marthas that will whistle while they worship, that will work while they worship. Whatever we do, we ought to do it to the glory of God. Amen, somebody? So she is serving. And the next thing is Lazarus is sitting. Can you imagine what he's thinking about? Because, you know, it's different styles of worship. Some churches are really loud. They got tambourines, they got organs, Hammond B3 organs, and it's amazing. It's wonderful. Other churches are quiet. You know what? They both love Jesus. They both are giving God praise in a variety of ways. Martha is serving, for Lazarus is sitting. Think about it for a second. He's very cognitive. There's a lot of mental ascent that's going on. He had something to think about, didn't he? I was dead, but now I'm alive. Oh, my God. I was able to fellowship with the saints that didn't know about the cross, let alone this Christ. And I experienced the Christ. I seen him heal, deliver, set free, cast out demons. I'd seen him do it. And now I can sit here and be a living testimony that God is able to do the impossible. I got a lot to think about. Do I have anybody here that has a lot to think about? You remember where God brought you from. I'm going to preach like I'm at my church for a second here. You remember how you were sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, sinking to rise no more. Does anybody remember? You remember what it was like to have your back against the wall and didn't know how you were going to pay your bills, but every now and then you remember the goodness of God and how he made a way out of no way. Every now and then you remember how you were sick in your body and it didn't look like you were going to get well, but God healed your body. Is there anybody that remembers? Just knowing that God has helped you, that God has been there with you, that God has consoled you, that he has done what nobody else could do, like Lazarus, you got a lot to think about. And I'm so glad about it. Amen. Yeah, I can imagine him just sitting there saying, look at me. I'm a living testimony. Where I'm at, I didn't bring myself. It was God, it was grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. Let me give you the last W. Warfare. Anybody remember the first W? Wanting. What's the second one? Waiting. Good, good, good. Was there another W? What was the next one? Wonder. Okay, good. Is there one after that? Okay. So we had weeping, then we had wonder. And then what was the one after wonder? Worship. Okay, now here's the last one. Warfare. I talked about how Martha worshiped, she was serving. Talked about Lazarus, how he worshiped, he was sitting. He was thinking, he was contemplating. Mary sacrificed. She took some ointment that was worth a year's salary. This, Pastor, this is mind-boggling for me. Took this ointment, took her hair, the glory of women, washed his feet with that ointment and her hair. It was radical worship. It was radical praise. Some people would say, that's just too much. You ain't got to do all that. It don't take all that. Wait, why you got to do all that? That don't make no sense. Just give your money, read a scripture, sing a hymn, and go home. That's all we need to do. But if you had been through what Mary had been through, you'd be worshiping too. Every now and then, I know there are people who are under the sound of my voice. People will look at you like, why you got to go to church on Sunday? God is with you all the time. You don't need to go to church. Why you got to give that money? You know, the preacher, he ain't no good. He ain't. All the preachers are liars. They conniving. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's the devil, isn't it? Good night. You go through the drive-thru at McDonald's, nobody is saying, you know, all these folks that make hamburgers, they all liars, they all cheats. Ain't nobody saying that. You go to the doctor, yeah, I don't even know if this man got his degree. I don't even know if this woman got her degree. Show me a degree. Show it to me before I take my suit off. Show it to me. No, you go in there, take your clothes off, whatever the person say, and then they treat, come on now. But with the preacher, we got, oh, Lord, we got to go through all kind of conniptions to prove that God's hand is on our life. Warfare. After she worships, Judas says, why wasn't this ointment, years worth of value, why wasn't that given to the poor? Lord, have mercy. This situation goes from smelling really good to smelling really bad. The ointment of praise, the ointment of worship, the ointment of sacrifice is in the air, and it disturbs the devil. Quick point. My friend James Ford said, isn't it interesting that she poured out this ointment on Jesus as opposed to pouring out the ointment on Lazarus when he died? That's a fascinating point right there. Whatever she was saving up for retirement to help her, she didn't even give it to her brother. But she poured it out on Jesus. I got to tell you that if you really know Jesus, you're going to pour out. If you really know Jesus, if you're really following Jesus, you're going to pour out. You're going to give. You're going to sacrifice. You're going to follow him no matter what. And there will be some Judases that will come your way and will say, why didn't you do this instead of following Jesus? Why didn't you do that instead of following Jesus? Why didn't you just give that to a noble cause like I'm proposing instead of giving it to Jesus? The Bible says that Judas kept the purse. He could care less about the poor because he was a thief. The Greek word there for thief is kleptos, where we get the word kleptomaniac. Everybody that's criticizing you doesn't want to see you succeed or even do better. Some folks criticize you to keep you down and to shut your mouth when it comes to praise. There are people who have decided to be missionaries, and people have said to them, but you could have been a great doctor. Why would you go over to Africa? Why would you go to Uruguay? Why would you go over to whatever country and waste your gifts on those people? Well, first, it's not a waste. Secondly, I love Jesus, and I'll go with him wherever he wants me to go. You could have been a great gospel. You could have been a great singer, but you over here singing this gospel music and exclusively singing this gospel music. Why would you do that? That's a waste. Well, first of all, it's not a waste. And it's something about my praise when I give him glory and honor. It not only lifts their spirits, but it lifts my spirits. I got to do what Jesus would have me to do. Why would you pastor a church on the south side? You could be out in one of these suburbs doing this, that, and the other. That's a waste. Well, no, it's not a waste. I've met great people at this ministry. I met great people in this community. And I don't mind pastoring them because God's hand is on me and I serve for his pleasure. Every now and then people will question why you do what you do. I want to let you know that your living's not in vain. An old song says, if when you give the best of your service, telling the world that the Savior is come, be not dismayed when men don't believe you. God will say, well done. He'll understand and say, well done. Oh, when I come to the end of my journey, weary of life, the battle's been fought and the battle's been won, bearing the cross and the staff of redemption, he'll understand and say, well done. There's a story behind Mary's radical worship, and I got to believe there's a story behind your worship too. God has been good to you, hasn't he? God has been faithful to you, hasn't he? And even if others don't get it, they don't have to, because you got it. Will you bow with me in a word of prayer? Pastor, I'll call on you. Dear God, I pray in the name of Jesus that my brother and my sister will remember their stories, the chapters where they had to weep, the chapters where they had to wait. Remind them of the wonder. Remind them of the intimacy of knowing you in the difficult times, how their faith was strengthened, and how their constitution was made stronger. Their determination was firmer to serve you, know you, and love you. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for this pastor. I pray strength and grace in his life. Give him wisdom. Give him insight. Bless his family. Let the power of God be upon him. And I pray you supply needs according to your riches and glory. Thank you for victory. And thank you for being worthy of any sacrifice we made, because you made the ultimate sacrifice for us. Thank you for being wounded for our transgressions. bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and with your stripes we're healed. Thank you for being the ultimate sacrifice. We give ourselves to you now, afresh, anew. Have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.